So a short reflection on that passage. It's Passion Sunday, and we prepare for the 2 weeks that lead up to Easter. So to talk about John's Gospel, we had one of the key readings from it this morning. Jesus announces that he's come to be glorified. This glorification is the whole point of St. John's Gospel. The Greek word for glory in the New Testament is doxa. Often what is known as the doxology is attached to the Lord's Prayer. So when we read the prayer of the psalm this morning, we all naturally then added glory be to the Father and to the Son. Glory be to the Father and to the Son. It's a doxology. And it's a word that's got very rich roots. It draws on the Hebrew word shekinah, which is used for coming into God's physical presence, seeing his face, being with him, him being with us. It was the glory of God that dwelt in the temple. And in New Testament times, this glory was an integral part of the kingdom of God. On earth, the glory of God was made known in the presence of Jesus Christ. Through him, people were brought into the presence of God. At death, he was glorified and sat down at the right hand of the Father. He thus blazed the trail for us, his followers. And that's our prayer, that we may be brought into the kingdom of heaven and see the glory of God. Right at the beginning of the Gospel, St. John spells this out. He came to dwell among us, and we saw his glory, such glory as befits the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And towards the end, when Jesus looks back on his life, he prays, I have glorified thee on earth by completing the works thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in thine own presence with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. His life and his ministry come full circle. St. John's Gospel is a carefully crafted book in four sections. There's the short prologue, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then there's the book of the seven signs, and all these signs point towards the greatest sign, that God's full glory was displayed in Jesus. Each of the seven demonstrates God's power breaking into the world. At the wedding at Cana, John specifically tells us that this deed is the first of the signs by which Jesus revealed his glory and led his disciples to believe in him. There's then a succession of signs. Jesus healing a royal official's son, the healing of the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, the feeding of the 5,000, his walking on the water, his healing a man born blind, and culminating in the raising of Lazarus. All this is shown in our reading from chapter 8. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And the voice from heaven says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. We then move on to John's Gospel, what is known as the Book of Glory. It starts with Jesus washing his disciples' feet, which takes the place of the Last Supper in the other Gospels. Then we have the great sequence of prayers known as the High Priestly Prayers. And Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will be with us forever. I love that passage because it emphasizes the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's that Spirit that returns to the Father of the crucifixion. It is accomplished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. St. John recounts the crucifixion, the post-crucifixion appearances, and finally explains the purpose of the Gospel, the whole thing he's been trying to get across, that glorification of Jesus on the cross. He says he's recorded the signs in this Gospel in order that we may hold the faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this faith we may possess life by his name. That is what John is doing in his Gospel. Amen.